This is Joe Stein, and you're listening to Thoughts from Lane Ford Podcast. Welcome, Andreas Ahlstrom from Eccentric, to the podcast. I invited you to the show to expose my listeners to the K-Box. First of all, can you tell me a little bit about your history and a little bit about yourself and how you got here?
Yes, sure. Thanks for having me, first off. And a little quick about myself. I've been with Eccentric for 7 years now, and I run the North American division. Before that, I was a strength coach, trainer for a long time. I've been involved in training since early 2000. Just always been interested in training and fitness, and kind of grew up like most people, you know, did kind of barbell training and weight stack training, and never saw anything like flywheel training until I, you know, got involved with the company. And now, you know, obviously big fan since I got involved with Eccentric. But that's kind of like the short story about me.
Can you tell me a little bit about the history of flywheel training in the K-Box?
Absolutely. So flywheel training has been kind of popularized over the last 10 years, maybe. And it's been around for a long time. I would say like roughly 100 years. I think like one of the earlier studies was done in the early 1900s. It has been around for a while, but it hasn't really been, you know, really utilized. I believe it was like around in the 1980s where it's kind of got a little bit popular with space exploration. NASA did some research about astronauts atrophying in space and like how they can solve that issue. And one of the methods they did to kind of work around that was flywheel training, because you don't need gravity for flywheel training to work. People took that concept and said, wow, while this works really great in an environment like space where there's no gravity, there's some really cool advantages on Earth. The two founders of Eccentric were two of those people that are like, hey, we can use this concept in a really good way on Earth. And that's kind of how Eccentric got started back in. There was a lot of things that happened before the company started, but the official year the company was founded was 2011. So it's been about 9 years now.
How is it different from conventional weightlifting? Like, what type of advantages would you see from that versus regular weightlifting?
All right. How much time do we have? No, but okay, get ready for a long podcast. No, so I'm going to try to keep it short. But so the main difference between working with a flywheel device like the K-Box or the K-Pulley, that, you know, two of our devices, compared to, a barbell or weight stack machine, is that when you're working with a barbell, for example, you're working against a fixed load. So, you know, you're loading your bar with, 100 pounds, for example, like whatever weight you want to have. And then the weight stays the same until you change, until you put more weights on or off, for example. So you're working against that load. With a flywheel, instead, you're working against the flywheel. And the difference there is that depending on how much effort you put in, so for a barbell, for example, if I lift a barbell, fast or slow, whatever I do, if you have 100 pounds on a barbell, it always weighs that, regardless if you're squatting with it, doing bicep curls, jumping with it, it just stays the same weight. But with a flywheel device, the more you exert yourself, so basically you're spinning a flywheel, and the harder you try to accelerate the flywheel, the harder it's going to try to resist you. So the load is variable depending on your effort, and there's also no limit to how much effort you can put in, because you can in theory always pull harder. So it would be like a weight. Imagine a weight, which is the really cool thing one of the best advantages, but imagine you had a weight that changes you know, it, like it changes its actual weight depending on how much you, like how tired you were, how high, you know, hard you, how strong you were. And also without increasing the mass. So for example, with a K-box, weighs 35 pounds and I can do the equivalent of like an 800 pound squat, but I don't need that, but the device still weighs 35 pounds, you know, so I don't need a squat rack. I don't need 800 pounds of weight, for example. So it has a lot of practical advantages as far as taking up little space and being easy to take with you. And I mean, I can use it in my living room. You know, I don't need a spa there. There's a lot of advantages, but I think the variable load is the main advantage. And it has a lot of, and people might say like, oh, it has, you know, it has some practicality to it. But I think when you realize what the variable assistance can do, it really kind of like makes sense why it's so good. So if we take a barbell squats, for example, and compare it, is that when you load the bar, you know, you load the bar with X amount of weight, let's just say 200 pounds. So as you know, when you're doing a squat, you're going to have a harder time at the bottom of the squat. You know, like the bar at 200 pounds is going to feel heavier at the bottom than it does at the top. You know, and the same thing with every exercise is because we're working against sticking points when we're working towards gravity. You know, these angles where it's like it just feels harder for various reasons. But the cool thing, so when you're doing a barbell squat, for example, you're never really working that hard. So if I do, even if you do like one RM, you're really just working close to your max at that sticking point. So in the barbell squat, that would be like the bottom of the squat. And as soon as you come above, you know, as soon as you get away from that point, it's like, oh, the bar gets lighter. So now I'm not really working that hard in those other ranges of motion. So you're not really getting like 100% load throughout the whole range of motion, which is a problem, I think. But with the K-box, for example, if I'm doing a squat and I exert to myself 100%, then in the bottom of the squat where I generate less force, it's going to resist less. But as I come up in my squat, it gets harder and harder because I generate more force. So it's like that squat bar that gets heavier and lighter by itself, depending on how strong you are in that specific range of motion. So you're getting that even 100% load throughout the whole range of motion, which is really, really good. And another thing too is that if you're working to fatigue in a regular barbell situation, let's say you do like a set of 12 repetitions and the last one is maximum, you only did one maximal rep and the other one is sub-maximal because the weight doesn't change. But with a K-box, if I go all out for 12 repetitions, then every single repetition is maximal. And as I fatigue and produce less force, I'm gonna pull less, but it's always gonna be 100% what I can do. So you can definitely like exert yourself to a whole other level within each repetition and each set. So it definitely has some really cool advantages.
What are some advantages of eccentric strength? I know that's basically like eccentric overload.
So I think I don't want to go in too much about eccentric training because I think eccentric training as a method has been pretty well documented. And I encourage anybody who's interested in learning more about eccentric training, you know, not just with a K-box, with any equipment to like read. There's a lot of information and it's a really cool, has a lot of really good data. But basically, one of the reasons why eccentric training is important, like when we do resistance training, is that when in our eccentric phase, and everybody, even if they haven't thought about it, have always experienced this, is that when you're, it's always easier to lower a weight, you know, like regardless, let's say we do a bicep curls, it's easier to resist, hold the weight down slow and controlled versus lifting it. So on average, we're roughly about 30% stronger in the eccentric phase than we are in the concentric phase. And so the problem is when we do traditional lifting, if we're doing it with, you know, without any spotter, nobody's helping us, and I'm just lifting like your, you know, a dumbbell, for example, then if I'm lifting the heaviest dumbbell I can without cheating, then because of that we're strong eccentrically, I'm not actually working very hard eccentrically. I'm going to work like 70, 80% of my max because I can't lift a heavy enough dumbbell to really exert myself eccentrically, basically, because of that, you know, that strength difference. And so there's a lot of ways a lot of people get around that. Like you can have a spotter helping you lift a heavier dumbbell, for example, or there's a lot of ways to get around that, but a lot of them are not very practical. You know, you require a spotter, or you have to have weight releases or chains or whatever you're using, or it could be potentially a little bit dangerous. And so it can be done, but it's not super practical. So with the K-Box, it's really, really easy to achieve an eccentric overload where we're like basically matching, that we're getting that 100% eccentric load that we normally don't see, or it's very hard to get during, you know, traditional training methods. And that is a huge advantage. And not only can I do that with flywheel training, I can do it most of the times, I can do it very easily by myself. So anybody who's done like overloaded squats or like eccentric loaded squats in a gym, they know what I'm talking about. But I've done those myself, like in my living room by myself. And you can't do that with traditional training equipment. You just can't.
This is a little bit off topic, but did you used to play rugby or soccer, or what was it?
I played soccer like just a couple of years when I was really young. But then after that, I have a martial arts background. So I've been kind of wrestling. I did MMA and some jiu-jitsu, stuff like that. So I always been into like combat sports. So that's kind of my sport background.
So what's your favorite way to use the K-Box? Do you just like to do squats on it, or have you made up some really unorthodox movements on it?
Not really. If I do any unorthodox exercises, usually because I've seen a much smarter, better coach than me do something with it on social media. That's usually what I get a lot of my inspiration from myself. I usually, in general, I try to stay to the basics. I just like the K-Box. I mean, I do it for a lot of resistance training, which is obviously what most people use it for. But something that maybe not as common that I like to use it for is to do a metabolic workout. Like one of my favorite exercises that just wipes you is like doing a thruster. That's one of my favorite, like go to, like when I really want to just like do a full body, just kind of, you know, wipe myself a little bit. But other than that, I mean, I really like the, you know, the squats, the deadlift, just kind of the core stuff is kind of my go-to.
How many reps do you normally do on it for in sets and everything?
It kind of depends. But again, because it's effort based, it, normally when we talk about resistance training, we talk about a percentage of RM and, you know, or 8 to 12 reps or whatever we're doing. So the K-Box works a little bit differently because of it's all effort based, because I can do 20 reps, you know, not go very hard. I like to stick between like eight and 10 repetitions.
Yeah. I saw that video of you and Chris Corfist on YouTube at like some seminar maybe, but he was saying like how it's kind of like how when you're sprinting, you are landing with about 3 to 5 times your body weight of force. And then mm-hmm. you have to catch that and then push it back up. So that's kind of what you're doing with the K-Box. And can you maybe talk a little bit about the studies about how it's improved vertical jump and sprint speed?
Yes. I mean, I can just, I haven't done any testing on myself, so I can't really speak about my own personal results, but I can talk about, you know, coaches like Chris Corfist and what I heard from coaches like him that have been using it. I think a common feedback we get from something like the K-Box that it's very lifelike, like the experience using it. Because you have to be very active participant, because, you know, and you use it yourself, you know, you're either pulling or being pulled. There's no position where you can kind of like just chill out. So you have to be really engaged in the movement. And I think that what Chris talked about as far as being able to absorb force, I mean, that's obviously super important. You know, not just for injury prevention, but anything like, you know, direction change or just to be able to, you know, it's not just important to have like the engine and be able to like go really fast. We need to have, you know, we need to work on our brakes too. So, and I've seen really good data. I know if you can get Chris Corpus on your podcast, you're in. That'd be awesome, because he's been using it for a long time, especially with sprinters and a lot of vertical jumps. So, but I heard stuff like, you know, the same type of results in like half the time kind of stuff. And, you know, obviously don't quote me on this. I'm just going by, you know, things I heard, but Chris would be a great guy to talk to. I got some really good feedback from, when we're talking about those kind of results, usually from Chris or other coaches, we're not talking about somebody off the streets. Like, oh, I got somebody completely untrained and do, you know, better vertical jump, which is not as impressive. But a lot of times we're talking about, you know, really good athletes that already have good vertical jumps that can increase it, you know, like dramatically under a short period of time, which is really impressive. And so overall, we've seen like we got really good. I can say like we got really good feedback from a lot of coaches that they see that their athletes are performing really well and are doing really well as far as like increasing their performance using, you know, flywheel training.
Yeah, a few of the exercises that I use are just like squats, single leg squats, RDLs, single leg RDLs, and then I'll do like calf raises on it. Or I know I've been doing some SOAS stuff on it, like the tiny knee lift for the psoas. I know that you can also pull up on it too if you have a partner with you to make it even harder on yourself to go down with it.
So I'm curious, what kind of, because you used it for how long now?
How long have I used it? Probably since like November, December. Yeah.
Have you noticed any like, I mean, I know you do other things than, you know, flywheel training, but have you noticed anything yourself as far as your own experience using equipment?
I think I'm a better athlete than I was a year ago, but obviously with the COVID, we didn't have like a track season or anything. So, and that was after football that I started using it. But I feel like
it's a pretty good timing when you guys buy it. I mean, we didn't know obviously that COVID were going to come around, but.
Yeah,
it's quite a blessing, I guess, to have that thing at home when everything has been closed.
Exactly. I mean, you can use that thing anywhere. So,
yes,
I just feel more powerful and stuff like that. And I think I've stepped my eccentrics training up this year than in years past, which also I think will prevent injuries. And maybe talk a little bit about that, how, you know, people with knee issues can maybe benefit from it or other injuries.
Yeah, from my experience, you have injuries that have happened because, you know, people run into each other or like accidents, and it's just really hard. There was Matt Price, I believe, who said he doesn't like the term injury prevention. He talked about injury mitigation, because you can't really prevent all injuries. Because some of them just happen regardless of how good your athlete are, you know, because somebody can slip or, you know, whatnot. But I think that one big, you know, component of why a lot of people get injured is that there's usually an imbalance, some form of imbalance, and common imbalance is the strength imbalance. And we talked earlier about, you know, there is a normal imbalance between eccentric and concentric strength. And with traditional training methods, because it's hard to strengthen the eccentric component, it's even easier over time to like increase the difference even more. And I think that if you take something like hamstring injuries, for example, that if you have athletes that can run like at a crazy, you know, they can generate a lot of force, and then they're basically not strong enough to absorb that force when you have to like change, or like something happens on the field where like, whoa, I have to stop really quickly and change direction or something like that, that basically they're not able to absorb that force as well as they are at like basically producing it. And that's a common reason why people can get injured. So I think that being able to like work towards, I wouldn't say eliminating, but work towards like strengthening and minimizing strength imbalances, for example, is really important. And I think that, I mean, that's one of the reasons I feel like a lot of people are doing eccentric, you know, eccentric training, which is difficult to do you know, without flywheel training. Like, it can be done, it's just kind of impractical and, you know, just difficult. So I think that's where flywheel training has a really big role in strengthening, you know, in eccentric training, and kind of like reducing the imbalances a little bit. That's my take on it.
Yeah, and you're still getting a concentric and isometric component, aren't you, on the K-box? I mean, it's mostly eccentric, but you're still getting the other two a little bit as well.
Actually, I'm glad you brought it up, because that's actually a common question we get that people don't maybe know. So you always have a, I mean, there's ways to work around it, but on average, you always have a concentric and eccentric load on the K-box or a flywheel device. So basically, because I generate force. So like, let's say I do a squat, for example, like, so as I stand up, I generate energy into the wheel, and then I have to absorb that in the eccentric. So you always have like the concentric eccentric component, and they're one-to-one. There's no energy that's being entered into the wheel by itself. So like, so for example, let's say I pull with 100 pounds, then it's going to pull me back with 100 pounds. So there's nothing being added, you know, by itself. There's ways for me to add to it, so I can make it more than 100 pounds in the eccentric phase. For example, by adding, like, somebody could assist me, or I could add auxiliary muscles, or, you know, I can break the eccentric phase in a shorter period of time. So there's a various ways for me to achieve an eccentric overload. But if I'm not doing any of those methods, if I'm just pulling and letting it pull me back, it's going to be like a one-to-one relationship. And then I can do isometric training. Usually that's where you usually need a training partner. But if somebody like fixated the wheel, if somebody held the wheel, for example, and I just pulled, you know, then I could use isometric. And but normally you have both concentric and eccentric action, and you can do isometric as well.
Yeah. And then there might even be like 1 second where you're isometric down at the bottom.
Yeah, it definitely feels like it. I mean, so when you reach bottom, when you absorb all the energy and you're starting, you know, there's going to be a point of time just when velocity is zero, and then as you overcome that, you start moving up again. So yeah, I would say yeah, there's definitely a point where it definitely feels, at least at the bottom of the squat, that you're standing still, like you're not moving, even though you're pressing as hard as you can. For sure.
Are there any other flywheel equipment besides K-box?
Unfortunately, yes. So it's funny to see. I'm actually kind of happy of that development. So when we started a company, like I said, we started about 2011. And back then, it was really just, so we have VersaPulley that's been around for a while. They have like a platform now, but back then for sure, they didn't have any, you know, K-box version. They only had like the tower, and they did more like rotational stuff, but it's a flywheel device, but there wasn't really anything other than them than when we came in. And then if you look today, 9 years later, there's like, I mean, I lost count. There's like 50 of them or something, if not more. And I think that speaks a lot about, and I feel like eccentric can take a lot of that credit. I think we made a really good effort to kind of bring awareness and just bring a really good product, and people start like to, and also like, I think we've done a really good job in educating people so they can understand like all the benefits of flywheel training. And so we also obviously done really well as a company, but I think because we've done well and because we did a good job kind of bringing it to, you know, people's attention, that kind of opened up the door for other, you know, basic competitors to us to open up. And I don't really think that's a good, or I don't really think that's a bad thing. I think that, you know, more companies going to bring even more awareness. I think there's more room for more than one, you know, actor on the market. I do think, you know, we are the best, more, you know, best flywheel brand, but, you know, I work for the companies, obviously slightly biased, but overall, I think it's, you know, good with some healthy competition. And I think it sends a good signal that more people want to enter the market because there's more people looking to invest in something like FireTrain because they understand the benefits better now than they did like 10 years ago.
Where can everyone buy the K-Box and the other flywheel equipment?
So the easiest way, because I'm sure you have listeners all over the world. So if you're, regardless where you're located in the world, you can always go to our website. And that's really where I would tell anybody to go who is just interested, because we have a lot of really good information. Our company is called Excentric. So that would be the website. So excentric.com. So Excentric. And if your listeners are located in the US, they can still obviously go to the website. But if they have any specific questions, they can email our office here. So I'm located in Portland, Oregon, where our US office is. And anybody who listens to this podcast are more than welcome to shoot me any questions they have about the K-Box or anything I said today. And they can just email usa@excentric.com and it'll get to me.
Sounds good. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely. It was fun. I really appreciate you asking me to come. It was a pleasure. And, I hope people enjoy this episode. Yeah!